Hey there, it's Ben. I'm just wanting to give a quick shout out to those on the Discord who are giving really interesting ideas for light weapons for a old school sort of Knights of the Old Republic game. The variety is a thing to behold. That's kind of fun. Also, I'm wanting to give a quick shout out to Rob Turner on the Patreon, as well as to all of our other patrons at patreon.com/theheidianway. You can help us out financially there, or at ko-fi.com/theheidianway. You can also help us out mentioning the show, retweeting show tweets, mentioning us on Reddit, Facebook, and the community's starting off fairly well in our Facebook group. So, thank you, and now on to the show.
Carrying a ship's duffel, I see a group of stormtroopers up ahead.
Great. We were so close. Almost back to the Niebrae without being seen, and now bucket hits. Well, this could have been better timed. I hope they just pass on by. We don't have time to deal with them.
We watch the patrol for a few minutes, and thankfully they seem to be moving on. But just as they are passing by our hiding spot, I lose my balance and come tumbling down right in front of them. Oh, hi boys! Welcome to A Tense Tale from the Hydean Way. We're your hosts, Risa D.
And Ben Yendel. This week I'm remembering a session with the Hydean heroes and how, well, initially it was going to be a nice, simple social encounter where the heroes were getting into a gang's territory and were supposed to essentially, like, yeah, let's just pay a toll and pay these guys off and they'll just leave us alone. For some reason, they just got their dander up. And like, okay, I can kind of see why, but they had a bunch of clues that these people that they were talking to were protecting the domicile that they were looking for. It's like, okay, sure, I guess we can do this. And then shooting happens and one of Kev's many, many, many scars started to happen. The thing for me about it is, okay, sure, it's a random encounter. Combat is always a possibility. Unless there's a express great reason why, there's always a decent chance of the players deciding to shoot their way out. It's one of those times where sometimes, as a GM, I get surprised at how bloodthirsty my players are. And I start getting, well, not exactly worried about the players, but it's like, I was not expecting you to just start shooting.
I feel like players are very protective of their credits. Anytime they feel like you're going to take credits from them, it's like, well, I could give them my money, or I could shoot them.
Yeah.
Even though I know this is going to make everything harder for me in the long run, I think I would rather keep my money. And I don't know why, but even when I'm a player, I kind of go through the same thing. Sometimes. It depends on, like, how much money you have. Like, because if you're looking at your money and you're looking at your credits and you're just like, well, I mean, I could spend it. Or I could kill them. And the same thing happens in video games too, right?
Where yeah.
It's like, I could avoid this entire fight, get like the same amount of XP for it, and just pay like the ogre, or whatever I'm doing, to get past. Or I could kill the ogre, keep my gold, and get the XP.
Yeah, and like there's absolutely is that. And considering on something like Heroes, it's very encounter-based experience instead of like kill the minion group. The thing that I just sort of get hung up on with this when I'm a GM or from a player side is the players seem to estimate the cost a lot higher than it is. Like in a video game, usually you've got a better idea of, okay, for 5,000 credits, I can pay this guy to go away.
Yeah.
Or I have to grind skill up and then after an hour, I can get past this by killing them in a 5-minute combat.
Yeah.
It's time versus reward. I don't know, in a tabletop RPG, it sort of seems to be the same way, where of the skill sets for use, combat's the slowest one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The particular one I'm thinking of was a it turned into a cliffhanger on account of the combat just went on too dang long. If we did another round, it would have taken far, far too long, and the episode would have been split. A 5-minute social scene versus a 45-minute, 50-minute combat.
Yeah. It's so silly, too. It's just so silly.
It kind of is.
I feel like after I've GM'd now, I'm more likely as a player character to just try and, like, talk people, like, out of things now. When my GM ran recently when we did our little just mini Trouble Brewing, and it took us, like, 3 hours because it was just two of us. It was just two players. And we both played social characters because we were like, let's try it. Sure. And every single time we came to a situation that most people would probably shoot, I don't think I drew my blaster once. But I also, I was a charmer. So specifically, like, that's how I made this character. And she just talked everyone into doing everything. And it meant that we finished Trouble Brewing in, like, less than 3 hours.
And if you're doing that, or if you're doing the skill checks to get around the combat, in most cases, you're looking at 2-3 rolls. And then you're able to do other fun things. And you're able to do these more unique things. But, like, some of this comes down to how a GM presents the scene.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll definitely admit, for that particular scene, the gang came on pretty hard. I'm not entirely certain exactly where I got the idea from, but it was like, okay, these members of a street gang are there a couple houses down and see someone approaching one of the ones under their protection. So, of course, they're going to go look it out. And they're going to at least try and bluster. Apparently, the bluster worked. And then blaster rifles came out. And, yeah. There's also a huge amount of the risk versus reward to it.
Yeah.
Like, why should I be paying someone who is much weaker than me and I don't have to be nice to them? I can just pull the blaster and try and intimidate them.
I mean, that is a question. To me, that's why it's like, oh, there's just like a group of stormtroopers. Oh, okay, then let's just kill them. Like, that's your idea, right? When you present something like that, it's like, oh, there's just a small group of stormtroopers. And you're like, oh, okay, guys, let's just get rid of them. That way they can't do anything else. They're gone. We don't have to worry about them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get, like, a larger group, you're going to want to, like, okay, let's try and sneak past them. I don't want to start, like, a huge thing now once the risk is too high. But if there's something so small about it, then it's like, oh, well, why don't I just get rid of them?
You're right. Okay, of all games that I'm coming back to. They then use the mechanic in Tomb Raider. But the way the stealth sections for the Batman Arkham games is really what I'm jumping into for thinking of how we as GMs can modify how people think of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm meaning by this is in the stealth sections, you've got to be doing a lot of stealth takedowns of, like, your Batman sneaking around and then having people disappear into the night. You knock them out, and this version, yeah, you're snapping necks and that. The idea is you get through the area by making sure no one else sees you. Because as soon as someone sees you, the alarm is triggered, and everyone comes.
Yeah.
Like, you're able to take on the, like, ones and twos, but you're not able to take on the dozen that are there.
Yeah.
It's the implication that, okay, sure, there may be a squad of 4 stormtroopers here, but your players have to take them down before the NPC turn, because the very first thing that the stormtroopers do is radio for help.
Yeah.
If there's enough threat on the rolls, I'd still have them radio for help.
Yeah.
In some ways, the most dangerous thing about stormtroopers isn't their blaster rifles, it's their radio.
Yeah, pretty much. They're like ants.
Yeah.
One of them isn't going to do very much, but a lot of them will do some damage.
And when I'm looking at things of how does this come back to the players, because its actions have consequences.
Yeah.
How does the players' actions of, well, why should I pay these people instead of just pulling my blaster and then shooting them? the same general reason why it doesn't happen in most other cases? Because people don't like that and will come after you?
Yeah.
And they may have organized groups to come after you on their behalf afterwards?
I mean, honestly, a gang? Like, if you cross an entire gang, I'd add, like, a party level, like, 5 obligation for the entire party of, you guys crossed this gang. Now you have 5 obligation for the entire party of, this gang wants, it has it out for you. You know?
Yeah, I can...
5 or 10. Something like that. Depending on how well the combat goes, you know.
I'll give this for the heroes. So far, at least by the time that this episode comes out, they haven't just wiped out groups. They haven't been completely 100% murder, death, kill. They have let groups run off. And actually from that, I think there's only 3-4 dead out of a dozen. So, like, for player characters, that isn't bad. Like, they should still have a bunch of people coming after them.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And if the heroes were going to stay on Seleucumai, it's going to very much affect things. But one thing that you said really makes me think of, well, how are the criminal element going to deal with these people now? You've got the heroes who will show up and then just start shooting.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't exactly remember when this is going to come out in relation, but there may be 1 or 2 more instances of that where they shoot first, ask questions later. Like, that's all well and good, players are players and that sort of thing, but they should start getting a reputation for the groups that are sticking around, shouldn't they?
Oh, definitely. And a reputation then should start affecting, like, how people treat them, like how hard negotiation checks are, how hard streetwise checks are, stuff like that.
Ooh.
If they have this reputation for being shoot first, ask questions later, and they want to do a streetwise check and figure out where to find something, well, that's going to have a setback on it because people don't want to talk to them. They shoot everyone.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't want to be seen with you guys. You guys shoot everyone, so I'm not going to tell you.
Or when they do start trying to get into these more social situations, you've got people scared of them.
Yeah. If they try to carouse, it's going to cost more money.
Yeah.
Anything like that. I'd say that definitely. If they start racking up that kind of reputation, it's going to have some serious consequences. Because if they're going around shooting everyone, people don't want to get shot. You know?
In this particular case, I'm just thinking of them when they go back to Paradise, the bar, cantina, dance club that is a recurring place. This time, when they go back, I can almost sort of see the classic record scratch, everything goes quiet as the patrons watch them go into the back room. And then as soon as that door closes, the thumping of the beat starts happening again.
Pretty much. I don't want to be seen with them. People are seen with them get, like, end up with some blaster marks on them.
Or worse. Yeah, exactly.
You know? So, yeah, definitely. And making certain things harder and just, I feel like that then helps them understand, hey, maybe we shouldn't be doing that. I would hope.
Yeah, there is that.
It's like the same thing like what happens when you have like a party of Jedi, right? Who are going around and killing everything with their cool light sword. You know, they're like, ah, yeah, I got this murder weapon. And then suddenly the people have started noticing that they have that. And now maybe people are being sent out with like Cortosis stuff. And you're like, oh, no, that's bad for my murder sword. So that kind of like there's a reputation that there's someone out there with a lightsaber. So now people are aware that there's someone with a lightsaber just going on a murder spree. We need to protect against the lightsaber. Consequences to actions.
Yeah, and thus, like, Imperial patrols are bigger and all that sort of fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Beefed up security, an Inquisitor sent after you, being told don't take prisoners, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, it's one of those things it's not so much don't take prisoners, don't risk prisoners.
Exactly.
Because, well, a corpse is a lot easier to deal with than a prisoner.
Exactly. Because otherwise, your players aren't going to learn. But then again, the other thing is, like you were saying before, it does also have to do with how the GM is presenting the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your players are hopping to murder really quickly, sometimes you have to look at how you are presenting your situations then, and maybe take a look at how you're doing it. Because I know that my GM,
mm-hmm.
he went through a time of just putting, okay, and then there are people here, and then they start drawing their weapons. And that was every encounter was starting like that. And then he was like, I don't understand why you guys are just shooting everyone. And it's like, well, everyone is starting to draw their weapons at us. So we kind of figured that shooting is going to happen.
Yeah.
So he took the time. And then sometimes people were, you know, showing up and or we came upon people who didn't see us and stuff like that instead. So we were able to come at situations more how we wanted to, instead of it just being, they're here, they start drawing their weapons. So it didn't feel like we were being pushed into combat all the time.
That's a really good point.
And it also meant, because I like doing things without combat as a player for the most part, because I have a lot more fun role-playing, and I get bored during combat. I won't lie. I'm sitting there waiting for everyone else doing their turn and sitting around, and I'm just playing with the Lego minifigs that were sitting there, and everyone's like, okay, and then what, but okay, if I'm over here, yeah, I peace out sometimes. So I like to role play more. So if there's a situation where I feel like I can jump in and role play it instead, and we see a group of stormtroopers, instead of just drawing my weapon, I can go, okay, I'm here to fix the pipes. Can you boys show me where to fix the pipes? And that's how I can get in. And I just start rolling a deception check. And they just like, yeah, totally. And there I am. I'm a lot happier with that situation. It takes me less time. I don't have to sit there for 30 minutes while everyone's trying to decide, okay, and who's going next? It means that I then don't have to use any more stim packs.
There's that too. And then as an added bonus to that, from a GM's point of view for coming up to combats, is especially in a larger facility, as soon as a combat starts, generally you can't really stop it. It just becomes one long drawn out thing.
Yeah.
If you're able to use checks to get in, it then starts discouraging doing combat inside, at least until the big final battle, if you're wanting to do one.
Yeah.
Now you start knowing, oh, it's not three stormtroopers who are there at this front. It's those stormtroopers. You've got the two guarding the turbo lift on the main floor, the three guarding the lift on the fourth floor. You've seen two different roving patrols on your way to the lab, and there's been a couple droids walking around, including one of those little security droids that they almost look like a giant Roomba, but then they unfold and turn into these essentially turrets that start shooting at people that players then recognize. And it's like, oh, like, sure, the players could take on each of these different threats one at a time, and it turns into like a running combat. But if the players are inside and they've snuck past two or three of these, well, then they essentially have the chance of having all of them happen at once.
It's way more fun to come up with random lies. I just want you guys to try it. Just try to come up with a great lie and just do it.
Or mechanical thing to get in, like trying to pry open a cargo door or something like that.
Yeah.
Sneaking in through the sewers. Or there's so many different classical heist approaches to it that it becomes cooler to not get into combat.
Yeah, I guess that's fun. But, you know, lying to people is really fun.
That's,
I just like coming
good.
Up with ridiculous things. It's one of my favorite things to do. One of my favorite things is just coming up with ridiculous lies and seeing if the dice agree with me.
As a GM, I adore it when my players do that. I am a horrible liar, so I don't really come up with those well. Like, as a player, I'm so much more of the, I'm going to try and sneak in. Like, I'll try and use a grapnel launcher to walk along the wall about 2 feet above where the stormtroopers are. Like, that's where my mind continuously goes. Like, how do I just dodge around the stormtroopers?
Yeah, the Lara Croft way, trying to get around it. Which, is fun until you accidentally fall out of a tree and then suddenly you're surrounded. But, you know, whatever. I'm sorry. I'm really bad at that game.
Yeah, I'm not that good either. But there are so many different ways of getting around combat situations. It's only rarely that thou must do combat.
Yeah.
Looking at Mask of the Pirate Queen from a grand whole, there are three situations where you absolutely have to get into combat.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't have to. Like, there's one where to not get into combat, you do have to get into a combat if the players go in a particular way, but that one actually is in the future for Heroes, so I'm not going to detail it. Like, talking to Graf, since I know that one's out. Or talking to the Rodian shopkeep. You don't have to get into combat, or if you do get into combat, you can do things in less than lethal fashion.
Yeah.
Doing lies, intimidating, using social skills generally works better.
It is quicker. And if you are going to get into combat, stun weapons are so OP.
Yeah, because it is so hard to recover stun.
It is. It's amazing. And that's how, when we played Mask of the Pirate Queen with my group, we had someone in our group who was playing as a big game hunter, and he had a bunch of stun weapons. Because he wanted to take all of the animals and take them back and have them stuffed. And that was his whole character, and he had this whole voice with it, and I loved it. So he just used all these stun weapons on everything. And I was like, amazing.
Okay, so in this, the Cryat's Breath has been revealed for Cav's weapon. It's a blaster rifle that has a burn quality on the dang thing. This thing, it will light things on fire, which is a repeated theme now. Okay, so blaster rifle, burn. Generally, I'm still going on that Vastrano, the doctor, yes, actual doctor, is the most capable fighter for taking out people. On account of Vastrano's a doctor. Has that one little talent that, okay, I will switch everything over to stun, and I'll get around all of their soak.
Yep.
The most overpowered talent that I can think of at all.
Fantastic.
It's amazing.
It really is.
All that has to happen is Vastrano has to hit.
Yeah.
Sometimes it isn't easy, sometimes it is. Sometimes the GM goads a player into dual-wielding hands. People have two hands.
It's true. Dual-wielding is great.
It really is. It's even more fun when you've got a Salonian who's wanting to use their tail and a blaster at the same time.
Fantastic.
Just so everyone is aware, that's a silly difficulty. It turns it to like 4 purple.
Amazing.
And you're using your worst stat and worst skill.
Great. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, like the whole swashbuckling melee viro sword blaster pistol thing, it looks amazing, but the difficulty on that is astounding. That being said, there needs to be a universal specialization that uses that, because it would be amazing.
Now I want to do, like, a pirate thing in Genesis.
And that would be a perfect talent. Like, have this, like, it would be like a rank 3 talent where it reduces the difficulty of that by 2.
Yeah, definitely. That would be amazing. Now I just want to run, like, a swashbuckling thing. Oh, don't do this to me. I just want to, like, type into my other Discord and be like, who wants to do pirates? Pirates went off. Let's do it.
There's two things I really think that we could expand on a little bit more, though we've touched on them already. Expanding on the idea of not having NPCs draw first. I guess that kind of is a thing, but what are some strategies for GMs so that, okay, yeah, sure, a couple of the NPCs may have drawn their weapons or have unholstered them, but that doesn't mean that people are going to be shooting.
West Side Story. West Side Story in the scene when the two gangs are trying to talk about the rumble, right? And the Bernardo and what's his name? You know, the guy from the Jets. I can't remember his name. You know, not Tony. Everyone's like super on edge, right? But they are at the front and they're telling everyone else, hey, you know, keep it down. That, right? So even if people in the back of your NPC group are, like, starting to draw, the guy at the front can be like, hey, cool it. That's one way to do it.
As I then just have the bit of realization. They could also be saying that to the player group, too. Yeah. If the player group is trying to get to the point of, well, okay, we're going to start drawing down and trying to intimidate these people, well, they could be saying something to the effect of, whoa, there's no need to be doing that here.
Yeah.
We're all calm beings. We don't have to be shooting at each other.
We're pals, we're friends, we're buddies, we don't gotta shoot anyone.
Yeah.
We, you know, just put it away. That kind of thing. I think his name is Riff. I can't remember. I'm sorry, I'm stuck on this. But that kind of thing, definitely. Just someone to keep, someone is in charge of the situation and is setting the tone, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they have someone off to the side who is, like, more intimidating than your group, who maybe has, like, some brass knuckles or something. And he's like, hey, no, you keep him away for now, but I can have him take him out whenever I want. That kind of thing, right? So that keeps your players in check a little bit, because they have, you know, he's got a Wookiee with a vibro axe.
In doing that, it provokes the players, but also somewhat assuages their worries that the GM isn't railroading us into combat.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is that sometimes you see a group of NPCs and you're like, okay, it's encounter time, let's take out our pistols. Like, especially if your players have a history of D&D, right? There is that certain training. They've had this, okay, there's a group of enemies and minions. I have to kill them now. This is how it works. This is how RPGs work in my brain. And that's not how they have to work, but that's how a lot of D&D has been run in the past.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of players have been trained to play.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just kind of have to, okay, no, wait, we don't have to do that. Let's take a second. Make all of the NPCs run away. Oh my god, they got a gun! Everyone sprints off.
Yeah, that also would work. It's... yeah. That also would work in, like, depending on the type of NPC. Though it would be really funny if, oh no! These four beings have blaster pistols and the squads of stormtroopers run away.
That'd be hilarious. Honestly, that would kill me. If it's like, you're at some, like, base or something that's never seen action before, they're all like, none of them have actually done anything before, and then suddenly, it's like, oh my god, this is really happening! Scatter! That'd be so funny. Players would not know what to do.
Then the mean part of my mind figures that they're just going to be running to defensible positions, so everyone is, all the combats going forward are going to be with the stormtroopers under heavy cover.
That's fine.
Okay, that one's a really good suggestion. I really wish I had used it with the Hydean heroes. Is there any other ideas you have for essentially de-escalation? Because that's really what it is.
If you really want to make sure that they don't automatically just go into combat immediately, describe their posture. Describe their body language. So if this is going to start out as combat, then you see a group of people hanging out by the entryway. All of them are, you know, their bodies are super tense. That tells you, oh my gosh, this is going to be combat. I'm going to draw my gun. However, if this seems like it's not going to be combat, maybe it's more like they're going to try and get money out of you. Maybe it's you see a group of people. Some of them are, you know, older. Some of them are younger. Youngest one looks probably like 14 or so. I'm just going to go with a group of humans because why not?
Sure.
It's easier.
Yep.
All of them looking a little scrappy, a little scruffy. They're hanging around, sitting on trash cans, lounging about in your way. They're definitely trying to stop you from leaving where you're going. The one who looks kind of in charge addresses you. He goes, hey, how's it going? Where do you think you're going? Right? Now, in this situation, it doesn't seem like combat's imminent.
Yeah.
In this situation, it's a lot more, there's confrontational, definitely. I've given you a picture of, there are people who are here, and they're trying to, like, keep you in. But I've also established that these are, like, there's, like, some kids with them, but this is obviously a group of people who are, like, a gang, and there's one of them in charge. This is the person you want to talk to. I'm trying to get you to talk to this person. He's the one addressing you, and he seems very chill about this situation. I've talked about people are lounging about and everything as well. So this isn't going to go quickly to violence. So I've described the situation from the get-go as not something super tense. I would hope that at least most players would not immediately go for the guns.
One hopes.
One would hope, but there are players. Depends on what characters they're playing. But for the most part, I feel like most people would then go, oh, okay, I need to go try to figure out what's going on and probably negotiate.
Yeah.
Or coerce in this situation. Maybe charm. I don't know.
There's so many different possibilities with that.
Yeah.
I really like that approach to it on account of there's still the implication that, yeah, combat can happen, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to start.
Yeah.
And yeah, the deception or the charm can definitely happen. But also, then the threat can start escalating slowly.
Definitely.
Like, say, the players are disrespecting this person. They snap their fingers, and then two of their toughs get up instead of lounging around and start trying to be intimidating.
Yeah.
And they start looming, if we go with the enforcer idea.
You roll a despair, and suddenly the air around just starts turning colder, and everyone gets a little stiffer, and everyone starts getting a little taller. You know, that kind of thing. Now nothing's going quite as well as you thought it was going. You know, now things are starting to head towards combat. You're starting to feel like it's going towards combat. Now would be the time to start doing it. Less of a bright and sunny day. I recently rewatched West Side Story, so that is in my brain right now of... I don't know.
Here, when, for the Heroes thing, oh, so long ago, I think we initially recorded that around Christmas, I was trying to evoke something of West Side Story-ish.
Oh, that's good, at least.
And, well, no, the Heroes did not go for that.
What, no dance fighting? Ugh, come on, Heroes.
I shall keep that in mind for Act 2.
Dance fighting is where it's at.
Yeah, in Act 2, there are many situations for many weird things to happen.
Sounds good. I'm excited.
My final thoughts on this are so much of it's in presentation and how the NPCs are reacting. The players can be as provocative as possible. The NPCs don't necessarily have to stand down, but you as a GM should have an idea of how likely the NPCs are going to be attacking. If it's just going to devolve into a combat right away, well, why are you giving the players a chance to talk? Like, ambushes work well.
Yeah.
But if it's supposed to be talking, even if it's tense, even if you're wondering, okay, I've got to say the exact right thing, otherwise it's going to devolve into a shootout, those high tension scenes in some action movies, the scene itself needs to be set so that the obvious thing isn't just, well, we're in combat now. You've got to have it so that it can be de-escalated. People can be bought off. As much as people are so easy to buy off in real life, people just don't seem to try it that much in role-playing games. There are a couple of talent or specializations built around it. Otherwise, not so much. So, Risa, what is your final thought on creating tense scenes without combat?
I think that if your players are tending to go straight to combat, you need to troubleshoot. Troubleshoot what's going on. First, look at what is the root of the problem. How are you presenting the scene first? And if you're presenting the scene in completely, you know, normal ways and they're still doing it, then you need to start just giving them consequences. And then that should help the problem. And then again, if it doesn't, and you're not having fun doing it, tell them. Communication is key, as I always say. Tell them, hey guys, I would prefer it if you would stop shooting people all the time. And then that should help. So that's my handy-dandy troubleshooting guide to getting your players to not shoot everyone all the time. I scrambled to my feet and towards the stormtroopers. Oh, thank you so much for finding me. I was so lost in this compound. It's so confusing. Could you show me to the exit? I flutter my lashes at them, and they, in a haze, take me to the exit. I nod my head to Ben, safe in the shadows, to follow after us.
Breathing a sigh of relief, I set down the upturned garbage bin. careful to make nary a sound as I follow Risa and the troopers out of the building and inside the spaceport security boundary. Join us next time on A Dancing Tale from the Hydian Way. We can be found on Twitter at The Hydian Way, and I'm at Deuterium Ice.
And you can find me at Cookie Kit. We are all at thehydianway.com, where you can find previous episodes, links to things we talk about in the show, and our live play podcast, Heroes of the Hydian Way.
You can find more episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Plus, you can help us out by rating and reviewing us, as well as subscribing.
Drop us a holocom at tales@thehydianway.com.
We're also on Facebook as Tales from the Hydian Way.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydianway.
Or you can give us a coffee at ko-fi.com/thehydianway.
Those are my final thoughts.
What can I say? Good final thoughts?